Well, good Wednesday morning. We're live from the downtown area of Coffeyville at our KGGF studios. I'm Sam Speck, joined here in studio by K-State Research and Extension's Jacob Weber and Davin Skrantz. Did I get it right that time?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Again, Davin, welcome in, as well as Jacob. Good morning. Always good to have
morning.
You back. As feel free to give us a call at 620-251-6909 if you happen to have a question for Jacob or Davin or for any of the topics that we will bring up today. So real quick, we'll start, Davin. I know I met you last week here real quickly, but how has the first, about full month been for you here as a K-State Research and Extension agent?
It's been really good. I feel like I'm starting to get settled in and figuring things out. I've been to a couple events. We did a farmer's market tour at a farm outside of Girard, which was really cool to meet some people there. County fairs are starting up this week, so I'm excited to visit those and meet some more people and support the 4-H kids.
Well, great. I know you kind of hit on it last week, but what are your focuses now as an agent?
So my position is Diversified Agriculture and Natural Resource Agent. So anything with wildlife, natural resources, also smaller livestock, backyard poultry, or diversified programs. If maybe you have a garden and you're wanting to get a few chickens or goats, and helping you figure all that out and what would work out good for small acreages.
Great. Well, you had mentioned 4-H fairs. We got the Montgomery County 4-H fair that's going on this week, actually. I talked with Katie Townsend yesterterday on behalf of it. But will you be involved at all in the judging, or are you just kind of going to go around and see how it is and like you said, meet some new people? Or what are you doing up there in Independence?
I won't be involved in any of the judging this year, but I am helping set up, helping weigh in animals. I'll be helping Katie out with the 4-H sweepstakes contest on Sunday.
Well, nice. Yeah, no, it's was going to ask as well, because for me personally, I was never really involved in it as a child. Was 4-H something that you were surrounded with as a kid, or now just kind of being introduced to it?
Yeah, I grew up doing 4-H. Nice. I was a 4-H member for about 9 years, so great. I really enjoyed it, so I'm excited to help
easy
out.
To be on the other side of things now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it's very, very enjoyable with that. So very neat. We may have somebody here on the phone as well. I will double check once it does get screened. But Jacob, I know you have done 4-H fairs for a long, long time as well. We'll get to have your comments on it in a minute, but we do have a quick question here. As a good morning caller, do you have a question for Jacob or Davin?
Tree is full of bumps and it has kind of a brownish cast.
I don't have I didn't know if my microphone was on.
Yep, you're good.
Okay, Bradford pear, and I'm writing things down here. I know what your pear has. It's called pear rust, also known as cedar hawthorn rust, and quite a bit of it this year. I've seen it all over the place. What you do about it? Nothing. You can't do anything about it.
Okay, that's what I figured.
Okay. So. The other thing is don't get too excited. It's not going to seriously hurt the tree, although it looks like your leaves have measles. Is it kind of right description? Measles on your leaves?
Yeah, every leaf on every tree. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, okay. It was bad this year due to the environmental conditions were very suitable for cedar hawthorn rust or pear rust infection on calorie pear, and you're not the only one. This is a rust fungus that requires an alternate host to complete a life cycle. Life cycle is actually 2 years on this rust. Part of it, that life cycle is going to be on a cedar tree, and the lesions on the cedar tree are not like cedar apple rust. They're very, very different. They're perennial. And they're actually like a swollen stem, and in the spring, during cool, wet weather like we've had, those actual lesions are going to swell up and are going to produce spores that are going to be shot into the air. They're very easily dispersed in the air, and every spot that you see on that calorie pear leaf, or your Bradford pear, actually it's a calorie pear. That's where spore fungus landed and germinated and was able to penetrate the leaf tissue. And now those lesions on your pear leaves are producing spores that are going to infect cedar trees. It goes back and forth between the two. It's just a cosmetic problem on your calorie pair. Some years we're not going to see it because environmental conditions are not going to be suitable for infection. When you have drier springs, you won't see as much. So that's what you got. Pear rust.
Okay, I've got one more question if I can real quick.
Absolutely.
I have some apple trees, and the leaves are just riddled, but there's still a few apples on them.
Apple trees with similar spots on them?
No, it's more like lacy, riddled. I mean, I'm assuming something's eaten them. I don't feel like it's the same.
Yeah, you haven't seen those critters out there, have you?
I've been looking.
Okay, Japanese beetles probably.
Okay.
Very
now,
likely.
Are the leaves going to come back?
They're all chewed up, right? They just look like little skeletons of leaves. Everything in between the veins has been chewed away. Very typical of Japanese beetles. They may be in your tree now, or they may have been there 1 or 2 days and have left. You missed them. Japanese beetles are small beetles, a little bit smaller than a potato beetle. Actually, the female's a little bit larger, so she'll be about the size of a potato beetle, but the male is a little bit smaller. It has a bright iridescent green head and neck, what's called that cephalothorax area. It's metallic in color, shiny. And then the wing covers, called elytra, are going to be bronze. And what I like to use for identification, along the below the wing covers on the sides, on each side of the Japanese beetle, are five small white dots on each side. And then on the tail end are two large white dots, look like taillights or headlights on the tail end of the beetle. Very distinctive. They feed in groups. They love company. There's a purpose for the company. They feed on a lot of plants. They especially like rosaceous type plants like roses and apples, strawberries. They like green beans. They like corn silk. They love my crepe myrtles. There are not so many of them on this year, but last year I had a horde of them. They like company. When they find a good spot to eat, they let off a scent in the air and attracts others to bring them on in. Tell them, here, good eats here, and good eats, along with all the company, the males and the females get together and they do their thing. I call it a gorgy, where they're feeding and having, reproductive activities. And, of course, that's for the purpose of reproduction and egg laying. Most of the life cycle of a Japanese beetle is spent in the ground as a grub, a white grub. And in lawns, they can cause some significant damage. They become adult phase when usually towards the middle of June, and that adult phase will last about 6 weeks. So here in about another 2 or 3 weeks, we won't see any more Japanese beetles. They'll be gone. They'll have completed their life cycle. The adult phase will have died out, and the larva phase, the egg phase, the larva phase begins, and it's a one-year life cycle. So Japanese beetles visited your apple tree, and they've done some damage, but the damage is not significant, so you don't have to worry about it.
So that will not affect the apples this year? I mean, having no cover from the sun?
Did they completely defoliate your tree?
Probably three-fourths.
Uh-oh. Yes, you'll have problems. This year, you may have problems. Your quality of your fruit's going to be less because you don't have the leaf tissue to generate the sugar reserves. However, the tree will probably pull that energy reserve out of its own system and complete the fruit production. But next year, you probably will see fewer blooms on your apple tree. That'll be the most significant effect you're going to have on your fruit production, okay?
Should I pull the apples off?
No, because it won't do a bit of good. The energy on your when your fruit production mainly goes into the seed production. That's the high energy sink on that tree. And it's too late to do have any positive effect by pulling the apples off. So, yep, just let go.
So next year, are these beetles going to be in the ground and do the same thing?
They probably will be back. They probably will be back, but possibly not as many. Initially, when they first move into an area, they're going to be overwhelming numbers. But as they become established locally, that tends to go down, or at least historically it tends to go down. No guarantee. They can move in. Be watching for them. If you see that you have some feeding on your tree, it's a really good idea to get the tree sprayed with something like 7 insecticide, very effective, and labeled for fruit production. So on the apple tree at that time.
At a dust or a liquid?
Liquid spray. Spray the entire tree. And what that does, it's a stomach poison. The beetles that are there will consume a little bit of foliage and they'll kill them. But the important thing is that you knock that population down so that they don't tell the others that there's good eats there. So that you have less likely to have a serious infestation like you have this year.
So if I got the 7 for fruit trees this year, will it still be good next year?
Yeah, but you don't need to do it anymore this year because you're...
Right, I meant just to have it on hand.
That'd be fine, yeah. Just always, before you buy a product, always read the label. Make sure it's labeled for the intended use, okay? There are different formulations of 7, and some of them may contain other products that make it unsuitable for food production. So always read the label at the store. You have the right to look at that label. If you peel the label back and read the entire thing, make sure it's labeled for your apple trees, okay?
Thank you so much for all the information.
Thanks for calling.
And again, phone lines will be open as well on the other side of the break at 620-251-6909. We got about a minute left here, I guess, so we can just briefly get back to things here. Again, Montgomery County Fair is going on. I'm not sure exactly. Are all of the fairs happening this week, or are they kind of scattered out within the next couple of weeks?
There's Montgomery County, Wilson County, Labette County this week.
That's right.
And within the Wildcat District. Next week is Crawford County Fair. I don't know. Cherokee County Fair is going on this week. I judged there on Monday.
Oh, what'd you judge? Oh, yeah.
I judged garden crops in the Cherokee County Fair, and yesterday I judged at the Labette County Fair. I did electricity.
You did a little bit of electricity,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, electricity.
Oh, man. So am I going to be calling you next time my AC goes out, or stick to the gardening stuff?
You'll have to call a professional licensed person. I'm just an amateur.
There you go. I'll stick to the gardening tips for Mr. Jacob Weber. That is Jacob Weber alongside Adavin and Scruntz. We'll have more from those two on the other side of the break as well. Adavin? Jacob, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Again, this is the Mighty 690 KGGF. More with K-State Research and Extension after the top of the hour news break on the Mighty 690 KGGF.